Leicester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're fresh on the heels of the Blitz, Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman. And we hope some of you are hanging around here tonight. We've got a show for you tonight. It's on the eve of a live show tomorrow at Advantage BMW in Midtown. More on that in a little bit. But tonight on the program, we'll have Houston Dynamo, the new president. John Walker will be on the show here tonight, on his way to studio right now from downtown Houston. And we appreciate John coming in here tonight. Also, Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. So hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, if you want to get some questions in line for both the GM and the president of the Houston Dynamo. It's all coming up here tonight. Of course, a lot of fans have questions about what is going to happen in the offseason, so we're excited about that. Also, today you may have seen in the Nations League, Germany with a 2-0 lead over the Netherlands, absolutely owning this game, concede two goals late in this one, 2-2 is the final scoreline. Virgil van Dijk side-footing in a volley in that one. Tell you what, Nations League is living up to it. After the England-Croatia game, what do we have to complain about, right? 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. 713-780-3776. And as always, a big thank you to our first hour presenting sponsor, the Texas Children's Hospital. Again, such great sponsors. And by the way, we're doing a number of things tomorrow night that will benefit the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, CCCFund.org. We'll do that after this segment. CCCFund.org tomorrow. So we're going to have Soccer Matters gear. We're going to have Soccer Matters jewelry. We are going to be raffling off a BMW bicycle tomorrow. All of this to benefit the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, a 501c charity. And as you all know, pediatric cancer research and that fight is pretty dear to my heart. We'll have a number of people down there tomorrow in and around that, including Mallory Ramey from CCC Fund. So it's going to be an exciting night. The first hour down there tomorrow, we're going to have FM Kitchen in there with food, Liberty Kitchen, and our friend Carl Eves. And of course, Jay from over at King's Court will be in as well. So we're going to have tremendous food down there, beer, drinks, cocktails, some wine. Come in, enjoy it. It's going to be fun. There'll be a DJ. And then we'll do 2 hours of live radio. Eddie Robinson's going to be in. Sam and Bono will be in as well. I call him Sam Super Eagle. Streaming tonight, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We're going to probably shorten up this first segment so that we can get John Walker, the Dynamo president, on. I just saw that he has arrived early, so we'll get him on early. So if you have questions for John, you can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Matt Jordan will also be in here tonight. And I've also got Ian Cheeseman. Now, Ian Cheeseman looks at everything blue. What do I mean by that? He's a longtime commentator in the city of Manchester, but he is a huge Manchester City fan. So he's going to come on here tonight to give us the Manchester City perspective of that derby in England and what Manchester City is doing over there. It's an interview I taped a little while ago. It's a beauty. It gets his perspective. And then next week, we're going to have Manchester United's perspective with the one and only author and noted author, Tom Clare, good friend of mine and just a wonderful man that has helped set up our pediatric cancer event in June with the legendary manager, Ron Atkinson, coming over in June this year. So don't be afraid to get your voice out here tonight, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in here tonight and bring your opinion. What is it you want to hear from the Dynamo president and the Dynamo general manager? And also, let's get your thoughts on the Nations League. Are you enjoying the Nations League? Were you skeptical about it? Because I think a lot of people were skeptical about it. Are these just going to be glorified friendlies? And I think, based on the last couple of matches we've seen, England-Croatia, I don't think so. I'm getting the sense that these are pretty competitive, pretty dramatic games. When Germany's up 2-0 against the Netherlands today and concedes two goals and it ends a draw in a game which they should have won, you could see the emotion in the players. And Virgil van Dijk would get the equalizer in that one. Timo Werner got things off and running for Germany. So pretty interesting stuff going on with the Nations League. Of course, we got Major League Soccer playoffs that are going to kick back in here after a hiatus, which, you know, sometimes MLS goes out of sight, out of mind with this transfer window. Atlanta United, the New York Red Bulls, how can you not like that matchup? And then you've got Sporting Kansas City and Portland. Who do you think advances? 713-780-3776 is the number. Now, in a couple of local notes, former Houston area product, Johnny Torres, and we need to be Houston proud when it comes to our soccer community and what it's given to the rest of the country, quite frankly. We've got tons of kids that have gone on to play professionally. We have tons that have gone on to make wonderful careers out of coaching and careers in the game, which are now available to young people. And we also have had just this remarkable history that we don't tell the story of it enough. And we do have to get Houston soccer proud here. So Johnny Torres, who played his college soccer at Creighton Blue Jays, went into Major League Soccer, played with the Miami Fusion. Most of his career was spent with the New England Revolution. He was also the number one player in the country 96-97, won the Herman Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman Trophy. Johnny Torres was just named the coach at Creighton. So he joins another large group of coaches, and I'm not even going to come close to being able to name them all, but I'm going to name a couple because there are a couple that are in the forefront right now. Chris Bondi, who also won the Herman Award, he is at Northeastern. Chad Riley is with Notre Dame, still in the NCAA playoffs right now, with the Irish, took over for the legendary Bobby Clark. Another guy that played in our fields here in Houston. And on it goes. We've got all these wonderful coaches that are now making a mark that cut their teeth in the game here in Houston. And we got to celebrate this more. We have to go big picture here in Houston. It's important. We've got professional soccer history back to the late 60s in the Astrodome, which we've neglected, quite frankly. It goes way back. We had an event 2 years ago where a whole bunch of these guys came back that played on the Hurricane, Summit Soccer, which was the indoor professional team, Houston Dynamos, an outdoor team, Houston Hotshots, an indoor team, Houston Stars, late 60s. Pelé came into the Astrodome. Pelé was over at Del Mar Stadium once, believe it or not. 713-780-3776 is the number. So a great lineup here tonight. Ian Cheeseman, 23 years at BBC. He's also done a whole bunch of radio for Manchester City. He's attended over 2,000 games. He'll be on the program tonight. Johnny Torres of Creighton. He's got some wonderful insight. I'm going to ask him about his upbringing in the game here in Houston. We have the Dynamo president, John Walker, coming on the show here tonight, and also Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. So we got a stacked show here. We got some heavy hitters coming in here tonight, and we are talking your game, the beautiful game. It is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to take a break here, and I believe John Walker's here, so we're going to get John on right away so he can get home to his beautiful family, which we saw at the press conference. We'll take a quick break here. Just a reminder here about the Texas Children's Hospital, our first our presenting sponsor, and Texas Children's Hospital and Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, a reminder, they're the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials, all dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorder. So they're doing the work down there to get it done. It is an amazing staff down there. I go down there a lot, as I've mentioned on this show many times, to to meet the patients and hand out soccer balls with Eileen Dowd and Freddie Reyes, who are two patients from down there that can relate. So Texas Children's Hospital, a reminder, not-for-profit, relies on generous donations. That's why we're going to do some of that work tomorrow down at Advantage BMW in Midtown with our party, and try and raise a couple grand down there tomorrow and get it to the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, a 501c charity. All right, we're taking a break. Texas Children's Hospital, thank you for your first hour presenting sponsorship for this show. Also a thanks to Kings Court, FM Kitchen, and Liberty Kitchen, all who will be catering the event tomorrow. We'll take a break. It's a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. Olé, 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 olé. Olé, olé. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. A couple of things to talk about here tonight. A reminder, Advantage BMW tomorrow in Midtown. 5 to 7, cocktail party, DJ, amongst all the beautiful BMW vehicles. Going to tell a very funny story right now. My producer, Tyler Scott, just came in and said, hey, you left your BMW car on. And you know why I did? Because I came here in the daylight and the engine's so quiet that sometimes I walk away from it. So that is a true story. That is not made up. But we're going to be doing live radio down at Advantage BMW tomorrow. We're talking soccer. We're doing pediatric cancer fundraising. It's going to be a fun time. Come on out. We got a DJ coming as well. I believe it's going to be Mr. 26 down there. So come on down there. Say hello. I'm going to be down there at 4:30. So if you want to come down there early and chat soccer, we're going to do it. Eddie Robinson will be down there tomorrow night on a panel. And so will be Sam, the Super Eagle, Mbonu. So come on down tomorrow. It's a big soccer night down at Advantage BMW. And by the way, those guys love the sport of soccer. First hour presenting sponsor is the Texas Children's Hospital. And they proudly bring us now the new Dynamo president, John Walker. John, thank you very much for coming in studio. I know it's been a bit of a whirlwind for you. You've only been in Houston a week, but we do thank you for coming in, and I know the fans appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and you're my first interview because soccer matters.
Yes, it does, and you have a T-shirt, so we're going to remind you of that throughout. So thank you for coming up. Well, how about your first impressions on Houston as a city?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, there's so much to do. As you were mentioning, I do need to watch out for the potholes, but I've gotten around a little bit and just love it. I've had some great things to eat, and everybody's been really friendly. Folks have described it as sort of a small town in a big city in terms of the feel and the way people treat you, and I love that. It makes me feel very, very much at home.
No, you know, that's one of the first things that attracted me here when I first got here was just, you know, coming from the East Coast, how friendly people were and approachable, and you know, a little bit different than walking the streets of Manhattan or, you know, New York. Not that there aren't friendly people up there. Your background's amazing. I've looked at your background. It's pretty incredible. You spent a lot of time in the NBA. You have expertise in so many areas. Is coming now to soccer and the sport of soccer and MLS from the NBA, is that a challenge for you?
In some respects, it is. You know, I'm not as familiar with the game, not having played it growing up. But, you know, from a business perspective, I think all the things that I've done in the 30 years that I've been, you know, in professional sports and entertainment, I think they translate very well. And, you know, from what I gather from the folks on the team and the people I've been talking with this week, you know, there's an opportunity here that is really unlike any other in that the team started off so well at the early stages of the franchise, and it's dipped. But as the sport continues to grow and as MLS continues to grow, there's a real opportunity to take the Dynamo to the top of the league. And not just from a performance standpoint, but from a business perspective as well, which is my expertise.
And the ceiling, obviously, so high, as you've seen here. You know, what's the first thing you do when you get appointed into this position? Because I'm sitting here, I'm like, put myself in your shoes, you know, who has all this expertise. All of a sudden, I'm involved in a new sport. But, like, what's the first thing you do when you walk in that new office?
Yeah, well, the first thing it's very easy for me because I'm a pretty humble guy, but I know I don't know everything. So I've done an awful lot of listening this week, being introduced to as many of the people who have our stakeholders in our club. You know, I met with Matt and Wilmer. I met with partners. I met with the supporter groups last week as well. And it's just trying to get a feel for where we are, what our position is, how people feel about us, and there's some work to do there, which I think is good. I mean, that's why I'm here, is to try and change the perception, change the perspective of the club in a way that it'll resonate with more people here in Houston.
He's John Walker, new Dynamo president, joining us in studio. We're really thankful for that. A couple days ahead of Thanksgiving. So I'm going to tell you a true story. The last couple of days, three consecutive days, I've been in three different places. Coffee shop, my favorite, Catalina on Washington. You'll thank me for that, Catalina. You might even give me a free cup when I come in there. Probably not. But it doesn't matter because it's so good, I'll pay for it. I was outside an art gallery, and the other was at Memorial Park. Three people came up to me and said, "Hey, Mr. Davis." And they use Mr., which makes me feel old, which, you know, I'm not calling you Mr. John Walker, so, because you look a lot younger than me. All three of them, to cut to the chase here, talked about the Houston Dynamo. All three of them were former season ticket holders who are not renewing their season tickets. And I asked them why. And a lot of it was too corporate slick. We don't feel transparent enough. So how would you address those fans if you were there?
Yeah, that's the challenge, right? I mean, the Dynamo's had a great following historically, and it's fallen off. So the opportunity is that those folks are out there, and we have to win them back. We have to give them reason to come back. We have to give them reason to sort of kindle that passion that they had at one point to become members. And I think, you know, it comes from listening. We're gonna do an evaluation from a marketing perspective and do some focus groups, and that'll be with fans, that'll be with non-fans, it'll be with members, so that we can get a real good catalyst of where we are in the marketplace. And, you know, we have an idea, but we need some specific data points that we can attack. And a lot of the, you know, it'll be multifaceted. It'll be, is the price point right? Is the experience in the building what people want? Certainly winning will help.
Let me stop you there, because last year, let me tell you, as an ex-professional soccer player and somebody who's been in this community since 84 and youth development and now TV and broadcasting, that product last year was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was out-and-out goal scoring. It was winning at home, and it didn't move the needle.
Understood. But
it's a component, right?
It definitely is a component. And I think if you look historically at the, you know, the club and the attendance for the club, in the early stages when the club was winning and was in the playoffs regularly, frequently competing for a cup, the attendance was better. So I think there is a direct correlation, because in the last five seasons they've made the playoffs one time. And so you've seen a little bit of a dip that is correlative to that performance on the pitch.
But I would say a lot of people are going to say it's quite a big dip.
No, it is. But here's what I would say. In some of the markets that have just recently introduced franchises, you know, there's a passion among the fan base that isn't necessarily driven by wins and losses, because the franchises are 1 and 2
Correct.
Years old, right? So they've been able to sort of organically get a fan base to rally around and really create some sort of ownership that the fans have. And that may have occurred early on here in the history of the Dynamo, and that's kind of fallen off. I would say, you know, the building is, although it's not as full as we would like it to be, and it's noticeably not as full as it used to be, you know, it's still 12,000, 14,000 people are at those games. And so it's a good base. It's a core base that has stayed with us through thick and thin, I would say thin. And so the challenge is to go back to those folks who stopped you in the park and stopped you at the coffee shop and try and win those folks back, give them reason to come back. But I think there are a whole another generation of fans who've come up since the Dynamo have been in town, and new, you know, it's a transient town. There are a lot of people moving here from out of state, from out of the country, who have played the game, who followed the game, who are fans of the game. And we just need to create something that resonates across, you know, multiple sort of segments of the population in a way that they can feel some ownership and some passion for the club. It's not easy to do.
No, listen, nobody thinks it's easy, but we do know there's unlimited potential. Why can't we be a Portland, Oregon?
Absolutely should be. A market this size with, you know, the number of youths that are in the area that are playing the sport, and, you know, given the corporate base here, it's a great sports town, as you know. And it can be done. It may take us, you know, a year or two to kind of get that momentum going the other way, because it's a situation where it has fallen to a point where we have to kind of dig out of a couple holes. But that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, and I would also say 2006 and 7, a lot of it was novelty, because it was the return of professional soccer. So, you know, we inherited a gift here in Houston, which was the best team in the league, quite frankly.
Sure.
And I remember sitting here doing radio prior to it coming, just going, man, they don't know what they're about to get here. And it was a tough, tumultuous time for people in San Jose. But, you know, it was not maintained. And that, you know, once we moved over to BBVA Compass Stadium, I think a lot of people started seeing it get a little bit too different. And there was a looseness and an intimacy that may have been lost in a lot of facets of the business. But that's for another story. Now, what I love about you, and we're talking to John Walker, president of the Houston Dynamo, you've got some really cool creative ideas that I know from your past working in the NBA. And I mean, this resume you have is pretty incredible. It's quite a history of all aspects of the business when it comes to sports.
Yeah, the resume looks probably a little sexier than it really is. A lot of the success I've had and some of the stops that I've made has been sort of rooted around analytics and sort of understanding the numbers and the trends and being able to pull, you know, different levers to drive the business and drive, you know, fan affinity. And so, like I said before, that's one of the exercises we're going to have to do here. There's still so much that I don't know about the club and about the market, because again, sure, I've only been, today was my sixth
Yeah, and
day.
let's just remind you that John Walker, who's the Dynamo president, has only been in town a week, so
yeah,
you got to let him get his feet wet a little bit here. But we do want to ask real questions, because that is what the fan wants now.
Sure. I think certainly one of the things I've heard early on is about the experience in venue. And so, you know, we're looking at ways, and they do that every year, we're looking at ways that we can improve that experience. We know it's really hot. We know there are a variety of things, that, you know, pricing, other things like that, that there may be some things that we can do to improve that experience. And frankly, that's one of the things that I've done in all of my stops, is taking a look at the different audiences that are in the venue, whether it's your premium ticket holders, or whether it's the kids, the moms, and each segment you need to sort of direct your services to those different segments so that they feel welcome.
In different ways.
And in walking the building on Saturday during the Tigres match, I see a lot of good things there. I think there are some things we can add, and we'll do some new things in venue ahead of this season, and some of it will be sort of iterative and ongoing.
He's John Walker, Dynamo president, really gracious to come in studio tonight. It's always nicer when somebody's in the studio. It gets kind of lonely in here sometimes, and it's always, I think, a better interview.
Plus, you need somebody to pull in and let you know that you left your car on.
This is true, and you know, we're going to work on that, John. We're going to definitely work on that. But Advantage BMW doesn't mind it, because it's just shown you how good those engines are and how quiet they are. But I always look in my garage before I go in my door. You said in the press conference, and I'm just taking this quote here, it said, and you were talking about Mr. Brenner's vision, quote, "We shouldn't just ride the wave, but create the narrative." And to me, that sounds like you've got some creative ideas in your back pocket that you think can work here in Houston.
Well, there's a lot of blocking and tackling that has to occur, but I think, you know, we need to be better storytellers, and I think that's one of the things where some creativity will come into play. Some of the things that I've heard in the first week is that people aren't really sure what the Dynamo stand for, and we're really not sure, you know, what are we selling, and mm-hmm. you know, what is
a common one.
We're not creating the narrative about our own club, and so I think that's kind of low hanging fruit. It's not easy to nail that. So it takes a little time to develop that, but I think you'll see some new creative from us in terms of marketing the club and trying to tell the story about these great players that we have, mm-hmm. The young talent that we have, and I think that'll certainly help. when I talked about Mr. Brenner's vision, it really is, you know, he's looking around the league and he's seeing the new franchises that are coming in to MLS and some of the old franchises that are, you know, longer tenured. And, you know, they are, some of them are doing better than we are from an attendance perspective, from a business perspective. And he's looking at his club and he's, you know, he's talking to me. He said, why not us? Why can't we be that? And we very much can be. So that's his vision, is to be one of the leading clubs, not only on the pitch, but from a business perspective. The business part is where I come in. Matt and Wilmer are handling the technical side, you know, from soccer operations perspective. But collectively working together, if we can build some sustained success both on and off the pitch, then we'll be viewed as one of the, you know, the bright spots in the league. And that's his vision for the club.
Does narrative include transparency? In other words, one of the things I hear repeatedly and very consistently from fans is information, you know, about the team and being transparent and getting in front of things. Will we see that sort of a cultural change? Because you've mentioned cultural change needs to occur with this club.
Sure. And I would address that by saying this. You'll get transparency from me to the extent that I'm allowed to and am able to share with fans and with you what it is we're doing from a business perspective. There may be some things that from a contractual reason we may not be able to discuss. I think, you know, from a technical side, from soccer operations, it's not unusual, I think, for at least from my perspective, from my experience in the NBA, for the GM of an NBA club to not necessarily go around and tell people what it is they're trying to do with the team.
Yeah, I guess I would mean in more general terms. In other words, Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets will come out and say at the beginning of the year, here's our stated goal. It's to beat the Golden State Warriors. and you know, that is a cool thing, I think, to a fan base. That's saying, hey, guys, here's where the bar is.
Sure.
They get rid of Carmelo Anthony. Hey, guess what? It didn't work out. We made a mistake. We admit it.
Sure.
But we're moving them on. We're not going to have them stick around here and fester within our organization because our plan is now to go forward. And not being afraid to say you make a mistake. Nobody gets it always right.
Sure. No. And I don't think anybody would expect for you to always get them right.
Some fans do. You know that.
Yeah. Couple. But, you know, I've had some conversations with Matt in particular, and I spent a little bit of time with Wilmer. And I think, you know, those guys are really talented, and Mr. Brenner has a great deal of confidence in them. And to the extent that I can get them to open up a little bit, you know, I think that may be one of the things that the fans are clamoring for. And so we'll have some conversations about that. I'm not sure I'll be able to solve that right away, because some people are just inherently closer, you know, hold things closer to the vest. But I do know that connection with our team and with our players is something that our fans are clamoring for.
Yeah, doesn't that directly relate to seats being sold?
Or
somebody doing a sales job?
Yeah, unquestionably. Unquestionably. But that's where I was talking about the storytelling. I mean, it's up for us to tell that story.
Yes.
You know, we can't necessarily march, you know, Kyoto through downtown.
But we could put him on a flatbed truck and take him into the Honduran section of town.
Maybe.
Him, Elise, and Boniac Garcia, Zach Emmons. I'd take that one out of the days of jazz in Harlem. Rolling Stones did that once. Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. My sister said they put him on the back of a flatbed truck. They started playing Brown Sugar, and they drove him through Manhattan, and people were chasing. That was one of their simplistic ideas, but I thought it was also cool because it was kind of a touch to the past.
There's a I'll date myself a little bit. There's a video of AC/DC with Bon Scott.
You like AC/DC?
Did the same thing in the 70s, yeah.
You're a big AC? I love it. Now you just got the heavy metal crowd coming in.
Yeah.
I think there are people calling the office right now.
You know, there are a couple of guys in the office that are closet AC/DC guys, I found out, too.
Alice Cooper the other night.
It wasn't so closet because his backpack says Back in Black. So.
It's good. Hey, I looked at your resume. It's pretty incredible. You worked at OU. You worked with the Kansas City Royals, the Phoenix Suns. NBA to soccer, when it comes to just ticketing and marketing, will there changes need to be made? You know, do you have to look at it maybe differently? We've got a huge Asian community. We have a huge Nigerian community that is totally untapped. Obviously, Central America, I think, could be supporting our Central American players more. How about these specific markets now that, that you have in a real big way in Houston? I mean, this is a literal cornucopia of people yeah. from differing areas who love soccer.
Yeah, and that's one of, I think, the unique opportunities with this position and one of the things that attracted me to it so much. You know, the NBA is very much an international sport as well in terms of the makeup of the number of players that continue to come from all over the world and therefore the audience as well. But I think soccer even more so, and in this market, it's very much about appealing to a wide section of folks across many different segments. And so each one of those, I believe, you know, deserves and needs, in order to be effective, a unique targeted approach. And it will involve very much grassroots, getting into those communities, getting, you know, a connection with those audiences that we don't have today. Again, some of that may come from engagement with the players, with our staff. I think the youth programs that we have, I think we have over 7,000 kids who are participating in you know, Dynamo Dash, you know, the youth clubs and leagues. And you know, I think that extends into some of those communities as well and helps hit some of those audiences that will be our future fans.
Dynamo President John Walker in studio. We very much appreciate it. Going back to the transparency thing, isn't that what brings allegiance, though, and trust?
It does. Again, I think what we need to try and build is people to have a passion and feel like this club is their own, feel like it's Houston's. And I think in order to do that, you know, we will have to, you know, come clean on a few things and be more transparent when it comes to, you know, some of the mistakes we make when we make them. I would caution everybody, though, when it comes to sort of players and acquisitions and those kinds of things, you're probably not going to get that before it breaks.
But you come from the NBA. Mm-hmm. Isn't talking numbers and, you know, the guy at home wants to be the GM, right? We all, the guy out there, we all think we know it all, right? It's easy when you have a microphone like me. Everybody thinks they know it all, but is part of the fun of this, like, putting it together your roster and thinking about TAM and GAM and yeah. all these elements in putting together a roster, and that includes numbers. And yeah. and
have you talked to Matt?
Well, we're about to. Yes, we have many okay. times. Maybe that's a question for him.
Yeah, I think it is, because that's, you know, that's his wheelhouse. He knows what it is we're looking at. You know, I know I've only been in town for 6 days, and he's been out of the country three or four.
But
of those.
But don't you think, coming from the NBA, that's a big part of fan engagement? Is,
oh yeah, well that's why
it's player transactions and yeah. numbers, and is this guy worth the couple million we paid for him? I mean, that's what makes it fun.
Sure, of course. And you know, I'm a sports fan too, and I ask those same questions about the teams that I support and root for on an annual basis. So I think that's very fair.
You're also from Morgantown.
I am from Morgantown.
I drove through Morgantown a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
It's a beautiful part of the country.
I would ask you what you were doing in Morgantown.
I was actually going back to one of my, well, I went to Boston University.
You went to
my
D&E?
Alma mater in Elkins, yes.
I've been there.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you address their student body or
no,
something?
No, not when I was a kid, I went up there.
Really? Yeah. It was a coal mining town, basically, yeah. when I was there, and had a college there. With two senators.
Didn't you go through Elkins on your way to Snowshoe, the ski resort?
Yeah. Jean-Claude Keeley was the guy who designed Snowshoe. It's a beautiful place. And then it's one of the most unspoiled states, I think, in the country. And I know it also has a lot of poverty as well. All right. We're going to take a break here. John, you got one more segment you can sit in?
You bet.
We'll probably tighten it up a little bit. We'll let you get home to your wife and kids, by the way. A beautiful family you have.
Thank you.
We thank John Walker, Dynamo President, for being in studio here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back for more. We want to remind you that tomorrow we're down at Advantage BMW in Midtown. We're doing a lot of soccer talk, 5 to 7. We'll have a DJ, all kinds of cool stuff happening down there. So Philip, Justin, and Sergio, they're waiting for us to get down to Advantage BMW. Do it tomorrow. Come mix and mingle. Let's talk soccer, because soccer matters. We'll be down there tomorrow. Take a quick break here. Again, our thanks to the first hour presenting sponsor, Infamous. They are such a huge part of Houston, the Texas Children's Hospital.
Boston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So great to have John Walker here, Dynamo president, in studio. And again, he's only been here a week, so we got to give John a lot of credit for coming in here. And look, we know we have a lot of questions. John's got to get his feet wet in the market as well, but he does come from an incredible background, and I think I would tell you all to go look him up and make sure you understand where he's coming from here. All aspects of the business he truly understands here, coming from the NBA and the college game as well, and all levels. As we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, we remind you, we're down at Advantage BMW tomorrow, 5 to 7. We're going to party. Got a DJ. And then 7 to 9, it will be live music. First hour here is brought to you by the Texas Children's Hospital. And again, we thank them for all their great work. We're going to be down there next week delivering some of these wonderful soccer balls that Nike and my friend Joe Ellsmore sent me and visiting patients. Back to John. John, he's got history in customer relations, service, sponsorship, marketing, and community, finance, analytics, data-focused, you name it. He's done it. He's been at OU. He's been with the Kansas City Royals, the Phoenix Suns. You said fill the building and grow new business. So first order of business, is it getting some of those season ticket holders back?
Absolutely. I've actually had the opportunity to meet with a few of them just late last week. And, you know, there's, as we mentioned in the first segment, I mean, there's some apathy, but you can tell that there's an appetite as well. They want to love this team. They want to have a reason to continue to come out and to support them. And it's an incumbent on us as a business to give them those reasons and to storytell about this great young team that we have. And you and I were talking during the break. I mean, they set records this past season for a club in terms of goals. We had the single player record, individual goal scoring record this year. So they definitely can put it in the net. What I understand from Matt is we need to find some defense.
Yeah, Mauro Manotas has had an amazing season in Major League Soccer. He's put himself among the elite goal scorers in the league. Matt Jordan will be on the show after, so we'll go into the player side of it a little bit more. But, you know, if you were on the street and you said we set records for goals scored and all that, the first thing the fans would say, and you also only won two games on the road this year. The year before, only one. How are we going to solve that? And, of course, that's a question for Matt and Wilmer, obviously. But that's what the real soccer fan is going to reply to you, and they're going to go, hey, that's great. But we didn't make the playoffs, and you know we still have this thing called the road that we have to solve. So that will be for Matt Jordan. Who else will you listen to? You mentioned the corporate sponsors, supporters groups. Are you going to break out of that? Are you going to try to find other people that are influential in the soccer community to get a totally unadulterated sort of opinion?
Well, since you've volunteered already, we'll definitely take some time and
pick, I will help you in any way possible.
No, I think, you know, I've had the benefit of getting to know some of the folks at some of the other teams in town just over the years. And so, you know, they will have a perspective about the market and about selling and about the fan base and how you can appeal to the different segments of the fan base. So I'll certainly be listening to those folks. As I mentioned, we're going to be doing some focus groups to different segments, whether it's non-sports fans, sports fans who aren't soccer fans, former season ticket holders. And you know, what you pointed out about the youth, I think, you know, that's the next generation of fans. And so it's really, really important that, you know, we make a great impression in all of our youth programs and get those folks to be fans for life, because as you mentioned and as we all know, you know, they'll grow up to become season ticket holders someday. And so it's an evolutionary process that the franchise is really not very old. There's not multi-generations. Like if you go to Chicago, there are Cubs fans whose parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, yeah. And you know, we haven't gotten to that next...
Red Sox, Yankees.
Yeah, to that next couple generations yet, but they'll come. And with that comes more of a deep-rooted passion for the club. So we're still in the pretty early stages of a franchise when you think about it. But with that comes some opportunity.
Where do you see the Dynamo in the sports landscape as somebody who's just come into the market?
Great history, fantastic stadium, and just nothing but upside given the market we're in. I mean, it's just a tremendous market.
Is it dangerous? You know, MLS and everybody's always wanting to compare, you know, ourselves to all the other leagues in America. Do you think that's dangerous for MLS and the Dynamo specifically to be trying to compare themselves to the Texans, the Astros, and the Rockets? How would you see that? Because I'm interested to hear your answer to
this. I actually think that the market can support all of them, and not just when they're winning. I think, you know, as I mentioned, you know, we're getting 10, 12, 14,000 for most of our games over there at BBVA Compass Stadium this past season with a team that, you know, underperformed relative to MLS playoff, you know, participation. But that's a core group of fans who stayed with us win, lose, or draw. And
they're loyal.
And so, you know, there are more folks like that in this market so that it wouldn't be all contingent on winning. Certainly winning will help. But it's up to us to find those folks, do some really good storytelling and get them in the fold and get them to love the product.
What about college students? What about reaching out to places like U of H and Rice and engaging those young people with an economical night at BBVA Compass Stadium, getting back to that point about youth and millennials. And youth is what brings energy, let's face it.
Yep. And I'm not just being pat with my answer, but it was a topic of conversation last week with our marketing and our sales department. We spent about an hour talking about how to do it and do it effectively. How often do we do it, whether it's a season pass or whether it's just certain nights? What about transportation? I mean, there are some things that we need to think through in order to pull it off.
That's cool.
But it's certainly an opportunity for
us. Yeah, that's exciting type of thought there. I like that a lot. We have seen teams around the league do things with passes and you can go one night or the other. So that to me, incredibly exciting. Now, on the other hand, you still have the challenge, John, of getting the hardcore soccer fan here, the one that's going to watch the La Liga, that's going to watch Liga MX, that's going to watch the Premier League, which is consumed rapidly and insatiably each and every Saturday and Sunday, including today new leagues like the Nations League, where, you know, you can be at home watching Germany and the Netherlands.
Yeah, and you know, to me, that just, it's about the game, and those folks really love the game and the high quality of the game, you know, world class. And I think that the quality of the sport in America, in MLS, continues to get better. And quite honestly, you know, we have guys on our club right now who are from 10 different countries. So, you know, it's very international here. And so even if you're a fan of the international game and not necessarily of MLS, you can see international stars here. I think it's just about reaching out to those folks and inviting them in. That we had a great audience on Saturday for that match, that international match, and those folks were crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very, very passionate. And if you could just bottle that up and pour that to a few thousand people, I mean, you'd be done. But it's a lot more difficult.
So you have Tigres and Monterrey, which lie in the city of Monterrey, Mexico, across the border. And there are people that drive from Houston, cross that border on the weekends to watch those teams. And that may be... that could possibly be the capital of soccer in this part of the world,
yeah.
Because they draw 40,000, 50,000 every single game. And having been down there and done some youth work in cooperation with Rayados, there's amazing things going on. I mean, these are the challenges. But on the other hand, I think those are also potentials.
It's all opportunity. You know, from my perspective, it's just finding the right message and getting in front of those folks and getting them sample, sometimes just to sample the product the first time. Yeah. And in other cases, you know, trying to win them back if they've come and decided it wasn't for them.
He's John Walker, Dynamo president. We're grateful he's in studio here tonight. We appreciate this, getting some great information out to the Dynamo fans ahead of what's going to happen heading into 2019. The good news is, international competition with the CONCACAF Champions League after winning the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And as we saw in the early years of the Houston Dynamo, I don't think there's any question with a lot of Mexican teams coming through town. The Dynamo back then earned some loyalty from those fans.
Sure. And I believe the draw for that is December the 3rd. So, you know, we'll at least know who we're playing and when we're playing at that point. But that butts up right against the start of the season, so we have some logistical challenges in terms of, you know, getting fans to all of those games. But you know, those matches, when you bring in folks from out of the country and, you know, different clubs from different areas in the Americas, I mean, that's our team is representative of those areas and those regions in many cases, and so I think there will be fans who will come out to watch those teams and come out to watch our guys as well. So.
Do you want to sell the sport of soccer as well,
have
as opposed to just the Dynamo brand? See, I think that's an area that can improve. Sell the sport of soccer as well.
Have to. You know, not only with the international matches that we have in our venue, because as you may or may not know, I mean, we oversee, we own and operate that venue. So our business is not just Dynamo. It's other events that we bring in, whether they be concerts, international matches, what have you. So
Gold Cup?
Yeah, we have
Gold Cup too this
summer. We have to be able to sell the game. And I think, you know, even more so, just as residents of the city and folks who are involved in soccer, and which now I am, I think the whole move towards, you know, luring World Cup games here, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to sell the game.
Accountability, how important is that to you when you're in a professional sports organization?
It's extremely important. I mean, if you don't have it, you don't really have anything. I mean, if you put things down foundationally, process, procedures, you try and roll out initiatives, you try and do things for fans, fans are going to hold you accountable. And I think within any organization, you know, you have to have that. So, you know, there are some structural things we need to do. You know, one of the things that I found just in my first week is the staff at the Dynamo is extremely passionate about what they do. And there are some extremely talented people there too. So it's not like I'm coming where the cupboard's bare. It's like, the, you know, the tools are here, the market's here, the team seems to be here. So it's just, you know, about creating the right recipe. But accountability has to be a part of that.
Yeah, I got to imagine you've been just inundated. I'm sure you have everybody telling you exactly how it's supposed to work.
Well, here's what's happened.
But that's cool. That's what you want, right? You wouldn't want to come in a market where everybody's a mute because you'd say, oh, my gosh, what do I have here?
Yeah, if nobody was talking about it or wanted to talk about it, that's a different challenge. But everybody who I've asked for 5 or 10 minutes with has given me a half hour, 45 minutes. Which is great, because that's the only way for me to learn. And, you know, I think a big part of my job here early on is to be a good listener, not only so I can hear and then ultimately make some adjustments in how we present ourselves to the community, but I think people just want to be heard, and maybe they haven't felt like they've been heard. So
that's a fair point. So I look at the Golden State Warriors, and they have the whole thing with Durant, and what's the guy who was suspended? Help me out here. Who's the Golden State? Kevin Durant had the little row with his
teammate.
Draymond Green. Thank you very much, Tyler Scott, producer extraordinaire. You can see how good I am with the NBA, John. But, you know, it's interesting to me because I see that in the NBA, every single thing that was said, the media got. And it actually turns into an incredible storyline for Golden State, the NBA, and it's that excitement that every day people are trying to grab a hold of. And even though it's something that's a locker room thing, we all know all locker rooms, when a coach says, oh, it's a beautiful locker room, we all know there's a pecking order. There's guys that get along and don't. It's all about respect. It's like a family. But I see that and I go, man, that's just incredible for the Golden State Warriors and for the NBA because it's a storyline.
Yeah, and the NBA has done a great job at that. They were one of the first.
Are they the best at that?
They are, and they were the first to promote their players, you know, posting stuff on social media and making things available on social media as a way to differentiate themselves and to create more, you know, connection with the players. And that's evolved into what is the circus that you see during the summer, when guys are tweeting about, you know, where they're going to be and who they're going to, you know, team up with and all those things, which is just, it's great for fans. And, you know, there may be something for the MLS to learn about that. I need to find out more about the league and their policies and those kinds of things. But there's no doubt it creates a great connection.
John, last one before you go. If you could take one thing from the NBA to apply it to Major League Soccer and the Dynamo, might have been the last thing we just talked about, I don't know. But what would it be from your perspective?
I think, you know, digital content is king. And so as everybody is, including your producers, are looking at their phones right now consuming some content, we need to make sure that we're there. And I think the Dynamo do a pretty good job of that. But I think that's, we need to base what it is that we're doing in all of our messaging around capturing people on their devices and making it a very mobile experience in addition to what we do in the stadium. And that, I think, has really resonated well with NBA fans, and it's given them, you know, it's at their fingertips. You know, what they love the most is at their fingertips. And so we need to make sure we're doing that from a Dynamo perspective.
Now, to go old school here, though, as much as I see the digital from NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball here in Houston with the Astros, Rockets, and Texans, they're also in mainstream media. There are old school billboards, TV commercials, radio commercials. Where does that fit in?
Well, I think, it has a place, but I think if you read any of the business trades these days, people are moving away from that a little bit. And if not moving away from it entirely, they're reappropriating some of their spend to digital from an advertising and messaging standpoint. That's how kids these days are consuming everything that they do. So you need to make sure in order to reach that audience that you're very digital content focused.
John, we're going to let you go. You've been very kind to come in here tonight. Thank you very much. Tremendous information.
My pleasure.
We're excited about you being here, and we know you're going to do good things for the Houston Dynamo and the sport of soccer. Thank you for coming in tonight.
I appreciate it. And I will take you up on that. We'll get a cup of coffee.
You
we'll
tell me, I'll be there.
You got it.
Anything we can do to help you. He's John Walker, Dynamo president. We're excited to have him in Houston here, and it's looking good here for 2019. He's only been here a week now, but he's just relocated, and like I said, go look at his history. He's got tremendous history in so many areas of the sports business. We should all know that much. We're going to take a break here. Again, a big thank you to our first hour presenting sponsor, Texas Children's Hospital. We appreciate that. Bud Light break coming up here. Advantage BMW live show tomorrow. Get down there. Tyler Scott is going to be there. That's a reason alone to be there for that 5 to 7 o'clock cocktail party. He's waving at me saying, what are you doing to me? Tyler Scott, man, the chicks are going to dig him. Be down there. You're going to see the BMWs. It's going to be a lot of fun. Take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.